But title of this afternoon's message, Sing No Matter What. Sing No Matter What. And it's kind of the other side of this morning's sermon, our response to the unsaved world, but now how we would ourselves react as Christians towards God within the congregation. And so, Lord willing, this would also tie into our Singspiration, kind of encourage us, prime our hearts a little bit more for the Singspiration to come. And so you have your Bibles. Let's go to Psalm 137. We'll start there, Psalm 137. And, of course, the book of Psalms is, of course, the Israel's songbook. And so as we read the book of Psalms, you know, yes, it's not just verses, but it's written and given to us, or at least Israel, as far as their songbook for them to sing and proclaim to God, and by extension, we too. But let's go to Psalm 137, starting in verse 1. Psalm 137 in verse 1. And so, you know, when we can't sing and when we don't want to sing, can't feel like singing, sing anyway. And so let's go to verse 1. The Word of God says, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? And understanding kind of the context here, you know, singing is a tremendous privilege for us to do. It's a big deal to God to sing. And just like prayer, if you will, God already knows what we need, but He still desires us to pray to Him. God doesn't need us to sing. He doesn't need us to sing to Him, but He desires us to sing to Him. And God certainly delights in prayer, and He certainly delights in singing during good times or during tough times. Case in point with this Psalm 137, again, written a little after the fact, okay, but not right when they were sitting down by the rivers there of Babylon, but shortly after, but certainly during that 70-year captivity period, this was when this psalm was penned. And again, more than just verses, these are the song hymns of Israel. And so at some point, even during captivity, even though they struggled to sing it, they sang it anyway. And God loves it when we sing. He absolutely loves it when you sing, when I sing. Even when we don't feel like singing. Of course, who likes to sing when we're in Babylon? We might not feel like it, but God desires us to. And so that said, let's open up in a word of prayer, ask God to bless this service, and then this inspiration to come. Heavenly Father, what a blessing to be here again. Thank you for your precious word. Thank you for the comfort that we know where any child of God, when we die, where they go, where we go. And so, Father, we take comfort in your eternal security, the promise that once saved, always saved. And so, Father, even now, help us not to be offended. Help us not to be weary in well-doing. Help us to always sing, no matter what, that we know that you desire us to sing for your glory. And we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And so a couple of thoughts that came to mind, singing. Maybe I put myself, or we can put ourselves in the shoes of the Israelites here. I certainly don't feel like it. You know, we're not home in our land of that God has given us, the promised land. We're in a strange land as a result of our sin. So how do we sing, or why do we sing? Well, number one, singing edifies our heart. Singing edifies our heart. How many psalms, as you read in the scriptures, how many psalms that when you read, the psalmist starts off pretty discouraged, okay, pretty down and out, but then towards the end of the very same psalm, all of a sudden he's turned around, okay, he's encouraged, and that's what singing does, okay. May it prime our heart, of course, for the Singspiration. May our Singspiration glorify God and then edify us. Praise God. Singing is an act of obedience. God tells us to sing. He wants us to sing. And of course, which in turn, when we do sing, as when we obey anything that God tells us, what happens to our faith? Goes up. And so faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Hearing meaning heeding, not just hearing it in and out one ear, but hearing it and obeying it, heeding it. When we obey God's word, just by the nature of the supernatural power of the word of God, as the seed of the word of God, our faith will increase. It does that. And so often, you know, if when words fail us, pray the Psalms. sing the Psalms. Add your own tune to it. That's okay. We don't know what the melody is, and so you can't sing off key. Hey, that's good. Just cry out to God, and by the grace of God, not just the psalmist gets from discouraged to encouraged. When we praise God, it will work supernaturally on the heart as well. Singing edifies the heart. And perhaps sometimes it can be tough to sing on your own, unless you're one of those shower singers, okay? But if you're, you know, if you're by yourself, sometimes you're down. It's kind of a downward spiral, right? But when we are together, when we can sing together, that encourages and exhorts me, and I hope I can do the same to you. You know, I think of like a funeral. In fact, it was just last week we went to Big Doug's funeral, or if you've been to any funeral, you know it's. You know, it's everyone's sad. You know, there's the feeling of missing someone. You know, and that separation from death. But when those in attendance sing, whether it's Amazing Grace, you know, It Is Well With My Soul. Have you ever been in those services where even though I remember when usually I enjoy singing. I always enjoy singing, so I sing along. But I remember during my pastor's funeral, I was lost for words. This was back in 2005, I think, when Pastor Hallett passed away. And I was just, you know, I couldn't even get my words out, you know, because you're kind of like that. And I was just sobbing. And my fellow pallbearer, Brother Bonfoy, was next to me. You know, he was sobbing. He might have made me cry because he cried first. And then I started crying and I kept him crying. And so we just started crying. But it was a blessing to me that for those of us who weren't crying, okay, we were able to, you know, as a song leader, you know, I forget what song we were singing, but as the church sang praising God, that blessed my soul. It's a wonderful thing. And singing does that, okay? And the Lord knows it's tough to sing by ourselves, you know, that's kind of, in fact, kind of looks a little pathetic sometimes. You're just by yourself. But if you're all together and you have the family singing, that encourages us, that blesses us. And so praise the Lord. And so God knows that. That's why, you know, Hebrews 10:25, you know, we exhort one another even more so, not just in preaching of God's word, but singing together. Because sometimes I can't get going, but someone else, my neighbor sings and that encourages me, then I can sing. And then maybe then it gets them and they kind of, you know, but it's a blessing to run this race together and we edify one another with song. Singing absolutely edifies the heart. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, now this is Paul speaking about, you know, how to manage the gift of tongues, which is speaking in a different language. But don't miss the truth here. Now he's speaking about, yes, praying and preaching, but also you'll find singing in here. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, again, it's going to share the same truth that singing does indeed edify, just like preaching and praying, okay? But don't miss this. 1 Corinthians 14, and let's go to verse 15. And so, you know, again, Paul is trying to straighten them out, okay? The Corinthians, very carnal Christian bunch. Now, they were truly saved, but they were babes in Christ, and they loved to show off their gifts, okay, among the most, I guess, flamboyant, peacock-type, very obvious gift was the gift of speaking in different languages. And so they loved to do that, even if others couldn't understand what they were saying. And so Paul is saying, guys, that's not what it's about. Okay, so look at verse 15. It says, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. What it means by the understanding is that words matter. Words matter, and it matters that we understand what we're saying. Otherwise, there's no understanding. It matters that people understand what you're saying. Otherwise, this doesn't do anything. You know, I can switch and speak in Malaysian. I could do that now, and it wouldn't mean anything to you because there's no understanding. So the idea is, you know, whether we pray, whether we preach, even whether we sing, it has the words matter. And so do we understand what we are singing, what we're praying, what we're preaching? And then look at verse 16, because they were not doing it, okay? They were not doing that. Else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen? Of course, they don't know what's being said. So how are you going to amen it? You can't. At thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest. For thou verily givest thanks well. But the other is not what? Edified. And so it's not just praying. Certainly prayer edifies, but you have to understand what is being said. Otherwise, you're like, what is he praying for? Okay. And same thing with singing. And so the words matter. God understands the words that we are singing, do we? And so that's a wonderful reminder that singing, again, among praying and preaching, but singing too, it edifies, it builds up. Praise God. Horatio Spafford, some of us might know the name, he wrote the lyrics for his famous song as a response of faith after losing, of course, all four of his daughters. They died in a shipwreck at sea. This was back in 1873. And then later on, when he was going to meet his wife, who had made it across, she was okay. When he passed over the same spot where his four daughters had drowned, that was when he penned his famous song. Of course, the title of that song, "It Is Well With My Soul." I mean, was he happy? Of course he missed him. Of course it's a tragedy. Of course he's heartbroken. But when he penned those words, of course, when he put the words to his mouth, and as he sang and praised God, singing edifies. It is well with my soul. Number two, singing shows God's presence. This is another huge one. Again, so obvious that we can miss it sometimes, because when we sing, who's our audience? God! God is our audience. That's huge, okay? And singing shows his presence. Let's go to Psalm 42. Psalm 42 goes hand in hand with God's presence. And so certainly something to get excited and to shout about is God's presence. And so Psalm 42, look at verse 7 and 8 with me. Psalm 42, verse 7, even in overwhelming sorrow, God's presence is with us. It's evidenced by his song. And so verse 7 says, deep calleth upon deep at the noise of thy water spouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. So ever feel like we're going under? So did the psalmist. Verse 8, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me. And so God's presence is shown through his song, and my prayer unto the God of my life. Even Psalm 23, we know this, Psalm of David, but let's go to Psalm 23, just at one verse, verse 4. Remember this here, Psalm 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for what? For who? Thou art with me. This is God's presence. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Now, this is not just a verse of scripture. This is a psalm, so this is a song. And so God's presence, it shows forth in song. If you go to Psalm 95, same thing. Psalm 95, the first two verses. Psalm 95, look at verse 1. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise. Amen. Doesn't have to be musically, you know, accurate or musically pleasing from that standpoint, but it has to be sincere. It has to be joyful. And the word noise, meaning it's not a whisper. I'm not just, what do you call that? I'm not just lip syncing. All right. I'm making a noise. God wants to hear us sing. To the rock of our salvation, let us come. Again, this is scripture, but it's also a psalm. So this in itself is a song. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Same thing in Psalm 100. Same, you know, not verbatim, but very close. But Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Again, joyful noise. This is the context of this is in person. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with what? With singing. That's awesome. And isn't God's presence something to get joyfully excited about? Yeah, man. Praise God. Amen. And even during the hardest of storms, being, you know, the waves are coming over us, even during the hardest battles that life may have for us, let's go to 2 Chronicles. This is, of course, a literal battle, but the application is the same. This is Jehoshaphat's testimony when he prayed and asked God for deliverance against the bad guys. So let's go to 2 Chronicles. I just want to emphasize, well, not me, but I want us to see how Scripture emphasizes singing and music and praise for God. Okay, to go all hand in hand because of God's presence, because he's there, a present God. He's near to us. He's with us. And so 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Let's go to verse 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 And then verse 14. Now it says here, then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite, the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. Now Jehoshaphat had just done the praying. Okay. And he said, hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Whew, that's amazing. Okay, again, overwhelming odds, but God says, hey, don't worry. God is telling Jehoshaphat, I got this. I got this. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight. You do have to show up, but you don't have to fight. Not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will, this is his presence, be with you. It's all about God's presence. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head and with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Now, how do they worship? And the Levites, these are the singers and the musicians, and the Levites and the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. That's amazing. And so everyone's worshiping the Lord with song, and see what happens. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God. Of course, it all starts with faith. We have to believe him and his word. So shall ye be established. Believe his prophets. So shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army. So they come marching into battle, led by the, of all things, their choir. Okay, it wasn't their military, wasn't their tanks that they rolled in first. It was their choir. The choir went in first, because God's going to do it, right? But they lead in worship with praise and singing, and to say, now they're going to sing this, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, this is when God moves, because singing moves God. The Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and against Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Of course, God did all the battle. Okay, just stand still and watch. Stand still meaning God did all the work. But they praised God with song, because singing shows God's presence. You got to believe. Believe first. If we truly believe, we'll sing to show it. Praise God. Remember Paul and Silas? Of course, they were locked up in the Philippian jail. We know this story. And at midnight, even though they were in the depths of the dungeon, guess what? They still had the presence of God. What did they do? They sang. They sang. Because singing shows God's presence. It edifies us, but it shows God's presence. And then number three, singing shows God's praise. It shows God's praises. How we praise God when we sing. The early church, of course, no stranger to persecution, horrible persecution. Yet singing was such a key part of their service whenever they got together. Remember Paul wrote to the Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, right? That's what he told them to do. Do it right. In fact, verse right before that, verse 18, what does verse 18 say? And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the what? Spirit. So in other words, Holy Spirit-filled Christians sing. Sing. Because singing shows God's praise. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Even Jesus Christ with his disciples, right after the Lord's Supper, right before Jesus got arrested, Scripture says what? And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Happy you're saved? Let's sing to the Lord. Let's go to Revelation. Revelation chapter 5. The testimony of the saints. They can't contain themselves. They're so happy they just break forth in song. Okay, because it comes from the heart. Okay, you want to sing from the heart. But we have every reason to, even in the dark times. even when we are, just overwhelmed. So Revelation chapter 5, let's go to verse 8. And the Word of God says, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. Of course, God keeps our prayers in his bottles. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. That's a pretty good that's a pretty good deal. Praise God. And so God has blessed them so much. God has blessed us so much. His love constrains us, compels us to sing and praise him. Singing edifies our hearts. Singing shows God's presence. Singing shows God's praise. With that said, let's bow our heads for prayer. And then we'll get into the synchronization time. Hopefully this would certainly prime our hearts to just make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a joy, Lord, that we can sing even during this time of grief as we think of, again, just the Kirk family. But Father, we rejoice that he's in heaven. Lord, he's with you as a faithful servant, a man of God. And Father, help us to so run and to finish our course as well. Lord, help us not to be weary in well-doing. And so, Father, yes, we do share that we are heavy-hearted. But, Father, above all else, we praise you for who you are. Thank you for saving our souls. Thank you, Lord, we have your presence. Thank you, Lord, we can praise you in song. And, Father, we love you. And we need this. We need to hear from each other as we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.